Okay, you're very welcome back to the programme. We are joined in studio now by
our guests for our latest election, local election 2019 debate. So we are back in Letterkenny, rounding things off there. And we'll start, as we did all of our debates so far, and invite our guests to introduce themselves and perhaps explain why people should vote for them in a minute or as close as possible. And we'll go clockwise because people sit down randomly, so it's random then. So, Councillor Kieran Brogan of Fianna Fáil, good morning to you. And why should people be voting for you?
Good morning, Greg. Kieran Brogan, I've been selected again as a Fianna Fáil candidate for the Letterkenny Municipal District. First elected in 1999 to Letterkenny Urban District Council. Elected at every election since in 2004, 2009 and 2014. It's an honour to go before the public, something I don't take for granted, something I enjoy. I want to pay tribute to my supporters, my team of workers who work very hard at this election time. But it's something I'd really enjoyed over the last 20 years in public life. We've had many challenges, but we've had much success as well in that time. I look forward to this election, raising the concerns of the many issues that's coming before us on the doorsteps. And I suppose we see ourselves as public representatives to bring the concerns of the general public to the respective forums of Donegal County Council and the Regional Health Forum.
Okay, thank you. Mary T. Sweeney, standing in behalf of the AIMTU party. Good morning, Mary T. Thank you very much for calling in, and over to you.
Good morning, Greg and listeners. Good morning, candidates. My name is Mary T. Sweeney and I'm one of the six AIMTU candidates standing across Donegal. I'm from Old Town Letterkenny, married with three children. I lectured for years in art and design and also worked in the family furniture shop and auctioneering here in Letterkenny. I've been involved over the years in a number of local organisations, the Letterkenny Reunion, Stopping Coravati Superdump, Mary's Meals and organising the campaign to save the Letterkenny Hospital Chapel from being closed down. I'm very honoured to be selected as a candidate for AIMTU, the new party formed by Padder Tobin. And the concerns on the door are MICA, mental health, keeping our community hospitals, the sex ed in the primary schools, gambling and other issues. And I am prepared, if elected, to allow me to use my skills to represent those concerns. And one thing I would ask people to remember is a number one vote for me would promote life, unity and economic justice for all. And life means respecting life for the whole of life. And the last thing is the parents who got the tragic news that have taken the case and brought it to the RTE news last night. After two diagnoses that their child had a fatal abnormality, the parents were advised to abort their child. Okay. And tragically, that child, when the test came back, had no condition. It was not a healthy child.
It's still being explored, but I understand exactly what you're saying. Okay. Councillor Michael McBride, Independent. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, Greg.
Why should people be voting for you?
Well, I've been a Sutton Independent councillor for the past 8 years. And during that time, it's been a pleasure to have served my constituents on the last two councils. I feel I'm well equipped to serve the people of the Letterkenny Municipal Area. I currently serve on about 20-plus boards and committees. That's both at local and council level. The majority of these are on a voluntary capacity. I serve on boards such as the Mulroy College, the Educational Training Board and its Audit Committee, the Letterkenny Institute of Technology, the Sealter Group, the Churchill Fair Committee, and the Board of Management at St Columba's National School in Kilmacrenan, to name but a few. The valuable experience that I have accumulated will help steer the direction, make it the decision making of the next council, and it'll place Letterkenny on a sound footing as the economic driver of Donegal for the foreseeable future. I would like to take this opportunity to welcome the people of the Manor Cunningham area and to the Letterkenny Municipal District. I have a major advantage over some of the other candidates as I have great knowledge of every area of this new constituency.
Also joined by Tsuiba Ahmed, Independent. Good morning to you.
Good morning, everyone.
Now, why should people vote for you?
My name is Tsuiba Ahmed. I'm originally from Sudan. Letterkenny is my hometown, and I'm living up Gordley. I think coming from a community work background, and I have experience background at my home country with sociology, I support families especially women. So I'm standing for affordable, accessible childcare, youth services, social inclusion, and from the issues that raised at the doorstep, housing as well. And I have applicable, realistic solution for that. Just as an example for childcare, morning breakfast, breakfast clubs, and after school clubs at schools, and it is applicable and realistic, as simple as that.
Okay, we'll tease out more of what you believe as we go on. Of course, Bernie Moran is standing for the Fine Gael Party. Good morning, Bernie.
Good morning, Greg. My name is Bernie Moran, and I'm a first-time candidate. I'm asking the people of the Letterkenny electoral area for their number one vote. And here's why. My experience as a mother, a nurse, an employer and provider of preschool services gives me a real insight into the issues affecting families in our county. I have no vested interests. My priority, if elected, is to ensure that the county council budget, your money, is spent fairly and wisely. The incoming council must concern itself with issues they can influence, including the proper administration of the MICA redress scheme, a fair budget distribution so that our rural areas are not neglected, the provision of basic essential facilities in our towns and villages, such as pedestrian crossings and proper public toilets, which we currently don't have in Letterkenny. It is not enough to be a hard-working, doing your best councillor. We need effective councillors. Currently, only 3 out of our 37 councillors are female. Don't vote for me because I'm a woman. Vote for me on my ability and the experience that I can bring to Donegal County Council.
Okay, thanks very much for that, Bernie. We are also joined by Kevin Bradley. Sorry, we're not joined by Kevin Bradley. I wanted to mention that right now. We did extend an invite, but he declined that offer. But we are, I'm delighted to say, welcomed by Cathal McGlynn, Independent. Good morning, Cathal.
Good morning, Greg. Good morning, listeners. Cathal McGlynn is my name. I'm a born and bred Letterkenny man. I am a community activist. I've been active in my community for quite a number of years. I've been very active in my residence group, my residence association in Ballymacool Wood, where I live. I work in the ambulance service based in Letterkenny. I'm also an active trade unionist with my union, NASRA, who are currently fighting for union recognition. Some of the issues which I've raised along the campaign are the gambling issue, the river walkway, which I'm passionate about. I've also been doing constituency work over the years for Thomas Pringle. I will fight and work hard for the community of Letterkenny rather than for the vested interests. I also want to be a strong voice for our workers and for our young people. I'll work hard on behalf of our community, as I have done in all the campaigns that I've been active in over the years. And I'm not here to make any false promises. The only promise that I can make is that anybody that contacts me about any issue, that I promise I'll always get back to them.
Okay, thank you very much, Councillor Jimmy Kavanagh, Fine Gael. Happy birthday, by the way. I believe it's your birthday today, isn't it?
Everybody should seem to be here.
Happy birthday, Jimmy. Isn't it your birthday? Don't go easy on him now. Happy birthday anyway. And why do you think people should vote for you?
Because my birthday.
It's a joke. There's a bit of substance to that.
Thanks, Greg, and good morning, and thanks for the good wishes on the birthday, and good morning, listeners. I'm Jimmy Kavanagh. I've been active in the community since my teenage years. I founded the Saturday Winter Soccer League, which became the Donegal Saturday League. I was founder of the Kidney Dialysis Fundraising Committee at Letterkenny General Hospital, which raised the money for the first dialysis unit in the county. And that too evolved into the Friends of Letterkenny University Hospital. I ran pub quizzes for many years that raised over €300,000 for local charities and clubs. I've been in the council for 10 years, 5 on Letterkenny Urban Council and 5 on Donegal County Council. I've learned a lot about issues facing residents, businesses and community organisations. I've led out on a number of initiatives and brought a number of initiatives to the council. These included the allotments at Ard O'Donnell, the introduction of beach wheelchairs to Donegal County and using the probation service and community projects such as looking after the battle site at Scarafallis and New Mills. I got Letterkenny twinned with Rudolstadt, which has proven to be a very beneficial partnership for both towns and partnerships now in things like the arts, photography, the Lions and Rotary clubs, sports, education, and it has huge tourism potential. I've also been a strong advocate on disability during my time in the council. And if re-elected, I hope to continue in the same vein, representing people in an honest, practical fashion and on their various issues and introducing initiatives that make the area a better place for all. I have a strong work ethic and strong commitment to the area and its people, and I'm asking you for your number one vote on the 24th of May.
Thank you very much. That's Councillor Jimmy Cavanagh. Before the news at 11, it's an issue that came up at our first sitting of candidates in the Letterkenny Municipal District, and it's... Some will roll their eyes, but other people really genuinely want answers to this question because it's important to them, and there's been candidates committed to sort of reverse decisions that have been made, and that is about the changes to the regulation, some might call it, some would call it liberalisation of gaming laws in Letterkenny. And as I say, you know, people have committed even to campaign, if elected, to reverse those decisions. So we'll go clockwise again, just in fairness. And of course, people are entitled to intervene if they so wish. But Councillor Kieran Brogan, you voted in favour of these laws and spoke strongly in the defence of them. There'll be no U-turn from you in that matter, I take it.
Well, I think it's important to clarify the position. It's a 1956 Gaming and Lotteries Act. I think that everyone acknowledges that it needs to be regulated. As we speak, it's gone through the Houses of the Oireachtas, and it's something that is outdated by a long time because of lack of legislation in this whole area.
Do you think it opens the floodgates?
No, absolutely not. Okay. And what I was going to say is, I mean, the information that I've received that only 8% of the people who's gambling today are using the arcades that we're talking about. Now, you and most of the people around the table know there is a huge issue with gambling, but it's online gambling.
So it's a broader issue.
And the arcades that I'm familiar with, and I'm very familiar with them, and I've visited them, and it's a decision I didn't take easy, is that people are going in here for amusement. People are going to the bingo. People do the lottery on a Wednesday night. People do the lottery on a Saturday night. There's so many different ways. But the bookies, for example, people are going to the bookies now more than ever, betting on the first goal, betting on that. So the arcades that, you know, and the gaming that people were talking about has gone 20 and 30
there's
years
some
ago.
Some skill involved in the bookies betting, but I take your point. Mary T. Sweeney, is this something that's exercised the people you've spoken to, and is it something that you'd like to see reversed if elected?
I'm extremely disappointed, not alone the method and the way this was done, but I feel that there was no consideration given for a lot of the children that will avail of these gambling machines, and they're robbing the mother's purse or the father's wallet, and it's going in, sneaking out of school. It's the long-term detrimental damage, and it's the long-term addiction or crisis. It's a crisis stage or hospital and addiction services at the moment. We can't even treat the people. They're absolutely, totally, totally devastated that they've gone through this road.
Okay, Michael McBride. What way did you vote? Or did you have a vote? You did.
I voted for it.
For why and would you change your mind?
Well, I'll give you the reason that I voted for it. I said on the day that I don't think in this country that we should be able to make one decision for one area and another decision for another area. It's 63 years...
So you're saying that you don't believe local authorities should have the power to enact bylaws in their own areas?
Absolutely not in this circumstance.
But in some circumstance?
Well... we're talking here about the gambling issue.
No, I'm only going by what you said. You said that you don't believe decisions should be able to be made for specific local areas.
If we want to put corruption into politics, leave these decisions at a local level and you will get corruption. If you want to take a law that was made 63 years ago, it needs to be updated and it needs to be done at a national level, and whatever decision the government make is the decision that everybody should live by. There should be no way that.
So why didn't you abstain then? Sorry, if I'm getting your message correctly, I don't understand. Why would you not have abstained if you don't believe this is a vote for the?
Because earlier in the day they had already passed it in the Buncrana area, okay. And I feel that if it's in one area, that it should be available to everybody.
So you voted in favour of it because equal, Buncrana voted in favour of it.
It should be equal to everybody. Bray also allow gambling slot machines, and It needs to be consistent and it needs to be dealt with new legislation at a national level. I want to make it clear, Greg, that I have no vested interest in any gaming machines, and I do not or did not receive any financial or political donations for my election campaign from anybody involved in the gaming machine industry.
Okay, so we'll continue our line of questioning now with Sueba Ahmed, Independent. Is this something that you feel passionately about? Is it something that's been raised with you?
Yes, I have some information about that and reading about it. I just always try to keep my children away of that machines because it is addicted. I believe that. Few people might benefit from that, but a lot of families will suffer financially.
So do you believe it should be banned, or it really comes down to parental responsibility?
It should be banned.
You believe it should be banned. Okay. I saw you... are you finished, are you? Sorry?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. I saw you shaking your head, Bernie, as Councillor McBride was speaking. To what were you shaking your head?
Well, I'd like to make my position very clear. These gambling machines, they rob children of their breakfasts. They add nothing to our communities, apart from, obviously, the people who own these machines. I don't agree that they provide employment. They're static machines in buildings, and they don't... I mean, I would be totally against it. If elected and if there was the opportunity to vote against it, I absolutely would. I'm 100% against them. You know, they might provide amusement for the people that are in there, but there's not much amusement for the families who have no money as a result of
it. And do you think it is? It's important. I think Michael sort of suggested that you shouldn't be able to vote about certain issues individually in your own area. You disagree with that, do you?
Well, we clearly are, and that's what happened. So, I mean, I can't understand the justification for having these machines. They add nothing to society. Nothing.
Cathal McGlynn, I think there might be a trend here. What's your view?
Well, I was extremely disappointed with the decision that the council made to change the legislation. I campaigned, I highlighted and campaigned against the change in legislation. I believe that our community is not being well served by the council at the minute. That decision on the gambling was really only for large amounts of profits to be made by a small number of people. So I believe that decision was only protecting vested interests. I asked the councillors to, in my statements, to defer their decision on it until they had presentations from suitable addiction councillors at the time, which I believe was ignored. I think that the councillors that voted for it bear a heavy burden of responsibility for their actions, especially regarding the addiction, because these machines are highly addictive.
Councillor Jimmy Cavanagh, you voted in favour of the machines?
Yeah, I voted in favour, Greg, and I voted not to liberalise gaming. I voted to regulate it.
So how could your view be so... I'm not trying to pitch candidates against each other, but I think Bernie would be an example of pretty much all of the views. Is anyone who's not a councillor would almost campaign to have them removed. And the majority of the public you might speak to, and I'm open to the fact that maybe I'm in something of a bubble, seem opposed to these. What do you know that Bernie and Mary T and Sueba and the rest and Cahill, what do you know that they don't know that it was a no-brainer for you to make this decision good for the people of Letterkenny?
I didn't say it was a no-brainer, Greg. I thought long and I thought hard about this. And the reasons that I have are very clear. First of all, the legislation is totally out of date, 1956. You can do more damage now on your phone than you would ever do in a gaming machine. Plus, like, if you ban it outright, I think you drive it underground. There's going to, two things happen. You either drive it underground or you drive those punters online. Now, if they go online, there's no open time, there's no closing time, there's no regulation, there's no money coming into the country, it's gone out of the country. And so on. You don't even have to leave your bed to lose your house. That's, you know, at least with the gaming, if we can regulate it, if we can get proper regulation, we can control it, and we can have some control. And we have absolutely no control on online gambling. But if I had a choice, great, to ban something, I'd ban online gambling.
But sure, there's only one thing you had any control over, and that was actually to ban one type of gambling.
Yes,
and you didn't do that, but you would ban online gambling. I'm
saying, Greg, is you would make. I think it would.
But you had only control.
I think it would have made
thing.
The situation worse.
Okay. If I had supported
you agree, Councillor, obviously. Yeah, we'll move on from this as well, by the way. But it's just, as I say, it seems to be an issue people out there continuously want us to raise, and this is the last of these debates that an area affected by this.
Yeah,
really.
But I think it's important to note, I mean, the judge and the courts will make the final decision. Yeah. The regulation that we brought in, that's exactly what happens now. The opening times, the closing times, and it's my understanding that no under 18s are allowed into these premises anyway. But, I mean, the judge will make the call. The age profile, the times they open, the times they close, there is regulation there. But you have to remember that there was planning permission, there was fire search granted, there was regulation, and these premises that we talk about, one could be forgiven for thinking now that there was something underground happening.
No, no,
they have been,
that.
Each one of them have been paying a licence for
and
a long number of years.
They had planning and they were paying rates and they were paying water rates and everything.
Yeah.
I understand
so,
that.
So it's important to clarify that position. And Councillor Kavanagh is right. I mean, the whole area of online, and we need to be honest with ourselves here. Maybe if I was going for the first time, I'd be all saying the same thing. But the reality is, if you put something underground...
So are you saying this is naivety from people who haven't...
Absolutely not.
I'm not putting words in your mouth, but why then would you sort of... Why would you be inclined to maybe share their view as the first time
going?
Does
it add anything to society? Does it add anything to a community? Apart from
I suppose what I would say, Bernie... Yeah. I've visited these premises. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever been to bingo. A lot of people enjoy going to bingo. A lot of people would actually go into the amusement arcades before they go to bingo. And I mean, I've been in them and I've seen people in them. And you know,
I spoke to addiction counsellors and they're on up to this and during the campaign and they've all described the slot machines as the crack cocaine of gambling. Yeah. These machines are highly, highly addictive. Yeah. People are sitting in a room that's blacked out. There's no windows, there's no clock on the wall, they can't tell the time. There's maybe an ATM in the corner that they can get more money out of. They sit there and they pump their money into it until they have nothing left.
But people sit in their bedroom and with whatever money they have in their account they have access to bet. They could do it in one bet or a series of bets.
Absolutely, but why have an additional... Why have an additional way of...
I would have to say that in relation to online gambling...
We already have a dearth
in relation to online gambling, I would have to say that when we're looking at a lot of the children that are affected by this, you can take the phone, you can break the phone, you can hide the phone, you can turn off the internet. It's a very difficult situation.
One moment, because Councillor Kavanagh indicated first, not come
right. Yeah, I would just counter that the crack cocaine of gambling is your mobile phone. It's far more accessible, far more available. As I say, the money's actually leaving, going to America. We don't know who it's going. It could be going to the mafia for all we know.
Jimmy, there's absolutely no control of that. The phone doesn't make it right.
There's no such thing as good gambling. If you're a problem gambler.
Okay, but we don't know necessarily how much of the money gambled in machine stays in there.
We have to be asking ourselves what kind of town do we want for our community.
I'll come back to you.
I think something that's very interesting. I'm around Letterkenny for a long, long time. And if you look at the gambling arcades that were in Letterkenny, the suggestion has been made that there are copious amounts of money to be made there by people running gambling arcades. The Lucky Seven was there. Funland, below the Four Lanterns, was there. And there was also one in Lower Mainstick. That's very interesting. All three of them are closed and gone.
That's because, can I just come in on that, Greg, just very quickly?
Yeah, and I'll come to sleep
with that. It's not about making the money. It's about the amount of money it's taking out of the wallet of the family at home. It's the amount of pressure it's putting on the children and the older people that are addicted to gambling. It's making it free and legal for them. And I would ask the two councillors that have voted for this, what have they done on the other end of the scale to compensate in mental health terms to provide counselling and services to those who are addicted?
We can come back to that, but I just want to, before
I
that's...
I just want to say that we need to look at the benefit and the problem that will be created by this issue.
Simply. And you believe the problems outweigh the benefits?
Of course, yeah. Okay. And if it is for... inside the family or homes, or it will be controlled and easy to follow. It's not like when you legalize it and it's outside and the children might go out from the school and it will create problems more than parents.
No, I agree completely.
Just let Bernie then out because...
There's only one person that benefits from this and it's the owner of the arcade.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line.
The people they employ... How many
people are actually employed?
Well, your party colleague will answer that, Councillor Kavanagh. I mean, the only people benefiting are the people that own the arcades.
We're talking about
the same with any business, but I don't know anyway.
I just think that if we're talking about protecting people, we need new legislation that makes the gambling industry as a whole make a large contribution to the addiction services each year. to help them help the people that are addicted to gambling. And, you know, people that have an addiction to gambling will find it, whether it's tossing a coin or playing poker or whatever. So what people need to do if they have a gambling addiction is they need to seek help. And there's meetings in Letterkenny 2 nights a week on a Tuesday and Friday. And people, if anyone's listening to this today that has a problem with gambling, they should pick up the phone and they should deal with it right away.
Okay.
Because it's the worst possible addiction in terms of it can remain unseen for so long.
Gambling?
Yes, gambling.
And it
can remain unseen for so long.
Was not part of you that thought that I could actually make one little stance on this and vote a certain way, even though it won't change anything, it won't change online gambling, it won't change anything, it won't bring in counselling services, but I can take this one vote that could make a difference, at least to you as an individual?
To me, taking voting against it would have worsened the situation.
Okay,
and
that's
I still
fair
stand
enough.
By that.
That is fair enough, yeah. Kieran Brogan, finally.
Yeah, the final point that I'd make on this, Greg, the word crack cocaine of gambling was mentioned here. And, you know, if anything goes underground, you only make it worse. And I think if something's regulated and it's legal, and the Gardaí have an input to the opening hours, the closing hours. But, you know, the biggest scourge in society we have now in Letterkenny and many other small towns throughout the county at the moment is cocaine. Is the drugs, because it is underground. It's not happening in licensed premises anymore.
Our addiction services are already under pressure.
I've been told that by...
Why should we create more addiction when we already have problems dealing with the addiction that we have here already?
Carol, we're actually going to talk about that, so do you want to finish your point?
Yeah, I've been told by a few different people who work the mental health services and addiction counsellors that the biggest challenge that they have today is what's happening underground, not what's happening in legislation or licensed premises.
Can I ask if Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael councillors, if either of them have received fundings or their parties have received fundings from the gambling lobby groups?
I have absolutely no vested interest. I've never been in one of these places in the town.
Absolutely not. And the only time I went into it, when this was coming out, to get a look to see what's happening, the odd bet I would take, Mary T would be I would bet an odd horse there if I was going to the races or something like that.
I understand. Did you propose the...
That's right.
The motion.
That's
okay,
right.
So you proposed it.
Yeah.
Were you lobbied by any of the owners of...
I think I spoke to a lot of people.
Were you lobbied by people?
I wouldn't be easily lobbied, Bernie, to be honest with you.
I'll make it really clear. Did you speak to people that own these arcades?
I did, yeah.
Did they come to you? And many other people. They made representation to you?
I spoke to many other people throughout.
Of course.
I spoke to people who work in the addiction service as well, who told me about... And that was their words, not mine. If you put something underground, it creates more problems.
Can we take
it back
to you
asking
the same question? Were you lobbied?
Ask your funny Fine Gael colleague the same question.
Mary T, I'll decide who I ask questions to myself. Just if you could get back to the question, were you actually lobbied on it?
Lobby is not the word I would use. I went to get myself informed.
Because the people in Bunbon Crannises, they were all lobbied. Every one of them was lobbied.
I had no sort of offer of any funding from anybody.
No, but
did
they approach you and make a strong argument?
One gentleman spoke to me about it in favour of it. Several people spoke to me about it against it.
Bernie, that's not unusual.
You
see them as the same thing, you don't see different.
I don't know.
Well, they've made a presentation to the council, so
yeah,
that's all I'm asking.
Yeah, I mean, okay. If there's nothing to hide, Kieran, why not just say?
Well, I can assume you have nothing to hide. And I'm, you know, I'm being open and honest with you. I inform myself, like making any decision in the council, I think every elected representative has a duty to get themselves informed.
100%.
That's exactly what I've done.
Bernie, do you have a frustration with the workings of the council? Because I'm getting the impression maybe that you do.
No,
not,
no.
You don't?
I don't have a frustration. On this. On this matter, I feel very strongly about the gambling. I think it adds nothing, as I said already. It only adds to the pocket of the person who owns the arcade. It brings nothing to the town. I'm passionate about Letterkenny. I'm passionate about improving the facilities that we have here in the town from the point of view of families and communities, and I feel it adds nothing.
Can I just add to that now that I would ask that all of us sitting here ask the two councillors that did, or the three that voted for this, to actively rescind this motion and review it and rescind it and pull it back off the table?
I believe that the electorate
should elect people who will serve the community and not serve those with vested interests. And, you know, I think that decision was so important that it should have been deferred at least.
I just want to be careful with the language here, because words are used... vested interest, is that someone who owns a business? Is that who a vested interest
is? I think that they're protecting about the business people at the end of the day, and only...
as I said earlier on, the only people that were to benefit out of this were a large number of wealthy businessmen.
Gaming machines very clearly when
not
I spoke
you.
About
that's why I just wanted to clarify the use of that word, Bernie. Yeah.
Your question, you asked me, was I frustrated by the council? Well, there are basic things that we don't have here in our town that I think we need to look at. If we look at the shopping area down around TK Maxx and M&S, we have no public toilets there. It's a basic facility. Why should the people that own the swing room or the cinema or the Radisson provide a public service to the community? They pay enough in rates. I mean, how is it possible that we built all of these shopping units and we left out something as basic as toilets? We have no proper pedestrian crossings in Letterkenny. It's a lick of paint, flashing lights. You know, it's the basic things. It doesn't sound very glamorous, but it's the basic things that I want to focus on.
Sweeba Ahmed, independent, are you getting that as well too, in terms of, you know, facilities and getting the basic, not the basics, because they're very fundamental really, although they seem basic. Are you hearing that from people as well? Is that something that you would like to
work on? Yes, of course, yeah. It is the pedestrian path and lighting and roads. But the biggest issue that raised is housing.
Mm.
Housing. And everything I stand for just lead to housing. Like domestic violence, when you just go further with it, it just will end. You can address them as homeless and everything just end on housing.
Councillor Mark McBride, you're a sitting councillor. I mean, you know, like the stuff that Bernie's talking about is the kind of same simple stuff you'd expect a local authority to be getting right. Why are those simple things not in place? Public toilets. I mean, one of the biggest local election debates down in South Donegal is the Ballyshannon toilets, but at least they have toilets.
Look, Greg, I agree 100% that there should be toilets down there. In fact, I believe they should have been a part of the planning process whenever the planning permission was given out for the new retail park down there. But there's something I would like to add to this. At the moment, we have started to work on a new town development plan, and we're now working towards Project 2040. And the Project 2040 is saying that Letterkenny needs to grow from a town of 22,000 to a town with a population of 35,000.
With all due respect, in 2040,
can I just finish?
Hopefully we're all here. Some of us might not be,
finish?
You know?
I think that we have had a lot of workshops at council level, and we're trying to get the project right, trying to get the town right, make sure the development that we do over the next number of years as the correct type of development for Letterkenny, and that Letterkenny will be the economic driver.
But what about fixing the problems retrospectively?
These problems need to be all included in the plan, and I'm very strong on that, and it says it on my canvas document, and I've been consistent on the doorsteps about it.
I'm sorry, but I mean, I have parents.
Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil have been here at the table for an awful long time, folks. Let's be realistic. I'm here previously working as an independent candidate for myself, for the community, for no party affiliation, and for no benefit and for no wages. The reality is that the councillors that are sitting councillors here, that there was a great, brilliant town plan developed 25 years ago. It redeveloped, and there was a couple of hundred thousand spent redeveloping the whole lower main street of Letterkenny. It was shopped and shelved to suit developers at that time.
Mary T. Sweeney's
bring it back
voice
out
there.
Again.
Councillor Kieran Brogue's not great indictment of the council, is it? That, you know, something as basic as toilets can't be provided, something as important as proper crossings, and a big issue of housing from Sweeba, which we'll talk about in more detail rather than just chucking it in with this stuff, if you know what I mean, and if you get me.
Well, I'm very proud of the track record of particularly the Urban District Council, the Town Council, over the years in the whole area of recreational and amenity facilities. We've done an awful lot of good things in the town. The RL Leisure Centre, the Bernard Lynchy Town Park, the Ballymacool Town Park. I mean, we won the Tidy Towns, All-Ireland Tidy Towns. We've invested heavily in recreational and amenity and sports facilities as well over the last number of years. Pedestrian access is something that we've all highlighted over the years. But, you know, it all comes down to funding. And funding's a huge issue. And I mean, we talk about traffic.
Yeah, but with all due respect, Councillor, with all of that stuff you mentioned and the millions that would cost, I don't know how much public toilets would cost as part of that.
But, well, there is public toilets in the parks and stuff like that. And I accept, look, I'm in business and I know that business people end up with the public using their toilets and things like that. And if something about it, but it's all down to budget.
Okay.
And I think we have to be realistic.
I just want to give Cahill, and so it's as fair as is absolutely possible. Cahill and Jimmy, a word on this, and then we can sort of open it up if you wish. But Jimmy Kavanagh, you've been there for 10 odd years. Toilets, come on.
Yeah, well, that issue of toilets in that particular location that Bernie refers to, I've actually raised it to the council a number of times, and I know other councillors have raised it as well. But the toilets should have been put in place there to begin with. You know, it's a private development. It's not belonging to the council.
And, yeah, but it could also be. I mean, listen, Councillor Kavanagh, we all know that if you are giving someone planning permission, you say part of the criteria for planning permission is this amount of parking spaces, these public amenities, that access to the road, that drainage. That's no excuse.
That didn't happen, obviously, with public toilets down there. That's them saying, great, they should have been there from the very beginning.
Okay, Cathal McLennan.
Well, I believe that...
Independent, go ahead.
Yes, independent is right. I believe that Fianna Fáil kind of followed a policy of letting the developers build wherever they wanted and the rest would follow. And all these developments then that have been built have created huge problems all over the town, be it, you know, the traffic chaos that we have there at the minute. But you have developments, you know, the likes of Gartner Grainne and Glen Tane down there who haven't even got proper water facilities, you know, because developers have been allowed to come in and build and then walk away from the areas and take large bonds with them and leave nothing for the residents there. So, you know,
take bonds with them. I think a lot of the bonds
have been handed back. And,
but is does anyone know if that is the case? I don't believe that is the case. It's the problem, I would imagine, is that the bonds were not acquired or ring-fenced properly in the first case, unless I'm mistaken. But anyway, carry on, Carl.
You know, I believe, anyway, that before we can move on and start looking at the development of our town, then we have to sort out the issues that people are facing there at the minute. You know, in this day and age where you have a house and estate that hasn't even got proper water facilities, it's just terrible. It's disgraceful. You know, one woman I was speaking to down in Gartner Grainne had no water for 2 months.
Can I just ask
Bernie Moore and Fine Gael,
is there a plan to put public toilets in Letterkenny? I know from my own experience of talking to parents of children in the preschool, their children are just toilet trained, or even from my experience of working in the GP practice, sometimes people need the toilet and they needed it straight away. Like, is there a plan? This 2040 plan is, you know, it's fantastic and it's going to see Letterkenny having city status, but we need it now. We need those toilets now. Okay. I mean, you're 20 years
Kieran,
on the council, so... Yeah, okay. Is there a plan to put them in?
And that question's to Kieran, presumably, Jimmy, and...
Mm-hmm. And the party that you're now a candidate for, Fine Gael, that's their 2040 plan. It's the government plan. Do you know the biggest problem we have is getting money from central government? Yeah. So if you're elected, I hope that you're able to influence government. Because we have lots of plans in Letterkenny, and we didn't get the money for funding. Right. We've a plan set. We have 2.5 million, an application for traffic management plan for Letterkenny in the short term. That's sitting gathering desk in a minister's office in Dublin. We're not getting the funding. We're not getting
that. You're talking about lots of plans.
How much does it take?
It was redone again.
A little bit of paint and two flashing lights.
I just want to ask everybody. So can I just...
Maybe it's just ask the minister to look at, because there's 2.5 million
there. Sweeper Ahmed first, independent, and then I'll come to Mary T. Sweeney.
I just want to mention that public toilet is a priority. Whatever plans are available and the funding is available, I think it's a priority. What you can do, you know... Okay. In that,
it's something we can control as a council.
Mary T. Sweeney, then, a word from you.
This is on the priority list for me, to redesign the Market Square and to provide, but it must be maintained, public toilets, because we must remember the history. And I don't want to labour this any further, because one thing I did want to mention is, I would ask the councillors, did they realise that the cathedral was being charged double rates for providing the public toilets that they provide in the front of the cathedral? I think that's a disgrace. I think they should be paid to allow their toilets to be opened, and a person with some sort of consultation, they could be maintained, that there's a person gets a job there created.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. The taxi men are using the cathedral toilets and they have to be maintained. But how dare they charge a second rates for a service, the only service being provided publicly. Moving on, I would like to talk about the real issues of mental health on the
doors. In a moment, because what we'll do is we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. I'm trying as best as possible to sort of identify who's speaking as they're speaking. Of course, this is radio, but when there's back and forth, that can be difficult too, because it means I have to interrupt, and I wouldn't have a reputation for that. A very quick question. Someone wants to know, did everyone who put up posters source their posters in Letterkenny? Was that important to them?
Yes.
Bernie did, Cathal did. Jimmy?
Yeah, the posters I've up were sourced by the party, and they were sourced locally.
Locally in Letterkenny?
Yeah. Letterkenny.
Kieran?
Callans and Bert.
Bert,
yeah.
Okay. And
my material is a mixture between Dublin, Letterkenny and Buncrana.
Okay.
Greg, I didn't put up any posters at all. This is my second campaign. You know, these posters are taking 300 to 400 years to biodegrade. I don't think they should be used. In fact, I think posters should be completely banned.
Good idea.
Yeah. Ahmed, you saw shows locally as well.
I just minimise them. I only have 30 posters just for...
Target them in the right place is what you're saying.
Yeah, the climate change, you know. I just, because they are plastic and they are coming from the donation and done by Bisprint.
Excellent. Okay, now I'll start.
Thousands of students in this country a few weeks ago protesting about climate change and about the, you know, the use of posters in the election. And I think
is this the last going election, forward, last local elections we'll see posters?
I would hope so.
I would hope so.
But I think it's very important for the election myself as a first-time candidate that people get to see my face.
But so ironically, it's independents that are leading the charge against them, Carol.
I think I think all public parks should have a public space that's divided equally among councillors of standing locally or nationally. That's the only space that everybody gets equal space.
Mary T. Sweeney, I'll start with you on this one, if this is all right, Sweeney Ahmed. One of the biggest issues that's coming up is, and it's not specific to any particular area, but I want your views on it, that there's a sense that there's an element of lawlessness. People don't feel safe. There's quite a bit of antisocial behaviour. There's little incidents happening all over the place. And that, you know, we can talk about what might be the cause of that, but that the Gardaí don't have a handle on it, and that maybe the council aren't doing enough to influence in that regard. So I'll start with you. Is that something that you're hearing?
Yes, I'm hearing and I am experiencing. I'm a community worker and I am around that. And I used to deliver courses and workshops and stuff like that. It shouldn't be dealt with as Gardaí or force or something like that. It is social inclusion, first of all. All of that antisocial is coming from oppression and coming from poverty. So they should be included. We need to see their needs. We need to look deep inside that. And also I'm standing for youth services. And most of that people who are antisocial are young people, youth, I think. If we have enough premises for them to spend meaningful time, that will prevent, you know, will be prevention.
So it's almost a prevention as well.
Better
as the
than
cure.
You.
Okay, Mary T. Sweeney.
Huge issue. The idea of the cameras, I think, is a big, big necessity. One of the councillors, I read it in the paper recently, had been campaigning, was it Jimmy? And there was some concern over the residential aspect of it. I think that needs to be reviewed. I think the way forward, I know the residents of Lower Arderdonnell have a big concern about the green belt behind the houses there. Old people living there, afraid to get to sleep at night. And not enough guards on the street. It's the reality. 139 Garda stations closed down. Scandalous, folks. We're going to have to rethink local politics and put more pressure on national government.
Okay. Councillor Kieran Brogan.
Yeah, the whole area of residents' association is something we had a great strength in Letterkenny, and I think it has been the success with Tidy Towns competitions, all the different residents' associations. I think it's very important. But community guards is key to the whole thing. A number of years ago, we had more community guards, and we need more community guards, more interaction with the community. And I think the council has a role with liaison officers and interacting, even with their own estates. But many of the private estates and some of the problems that we have, and we've seen in different parts of the town, are actually not from council estates at all. They're actually from private estates. And the problem is a lot of the time we don't know who owns the houses and stuff. But something has been raised over the last number of years, and the council has power and it's initiating a procedure now to go in and CPO some of the derelict properties that's there. But it's something that I'm confident that we can put some resources into and have a stronger relationship there with the communities. I think it's all about the communities and the residents. But I mean, a lot of residents are key to all of that. And I believe that we can resolve the challenges that's there.
Bernie Mullen, what do you think of Finnegan?
Yeah, I agree with what Kieran has said. We definitely need more community guards. When I was out canvassing in the Arderdonnell area, in fact, there was, I think I met four guards that were calling house to house that day. A number of the residents mentioned that some of their cars had been damaged, I think a couple of days prior to that. Just people knocking off wing mirrors, you know, dreadful
behaviour.
The
people I speak to, they're afraid to report those instances because they're afraid of sort of retaliation from that. Yeah. And that sort of points surely to a lack of trust in the guards to be able to deal with it and deal with it effectively.
I don't know if it's
that's what they're
trust.
Saying.
Well, that's certainly not what that's not the me. Feedback I got from when I was out canvassing. And as I said, there was four guards out, community guards calling door to door on that day. And, you know, the residents there seemed very happy that there was a presence and that they were taken on board, you know, what they had reported.
And you were there, Bernie. I've never
well,
seen four community guards
well,
out.
I did. In fact, I thought that I thought something had happened to see that many guards out at the one time. And when I asked, I said, you know, was I suppose being a little
There's
bit nosy.
Crisis and guards here. That we haven't
Mary
enough
I
guards.
Can only say yeah. what I
Let's
so
finish your
day.
Point, and then if we yeah. want to sort of tease it out, is once everyone's had a sort of
yeah, no, that's okay. that's fine.
So you're happy enough with that, okay?
Well, I mean,
happy
I
enough
more.
With your time
yes,
to speak.
Absolutely, thank
Sorry,
you.
Sorry,
yeah.
Bernie.
Yeah.
Cahill,
I think the issue of antisocial behaviour in the town is a lot of it's all connected with the issues that we're getting on the doorsteps. The issues like the addiction, the poverty, the housing issues. They're all connected with the, you know, the likes of the antisocial behaviour. I think what it comes down to is education. We need to put more into the education of our youth and create more facilities for them that they can spend their time. We need to be investing in things and promoting issues like the Swally Walkway and the Greenway along the river so we can promote healthy issues, cycling, running, and try and get people involved in them kind of issues, so give them something to do.
Okay, Jimmy Kavanagh, good morning to you again. Sorry, Jimmy, what do you
Thanks, Greg. I took on the motion about Beechwood and the extension of the CCTV that May T referred to there. I think I agree 100% with her. The policy should be reviewed and the CCTV should be extended, and I think we should be looking at why we can't, you know, the whole issue of privacy, because I don't really accept that, for example, Beechwood Road couldn't be covered without imposing on people's privacy. So I don't really accept that answer. I think the parents have a big responsibility here too. We have gangs of youth going through the town, and, you know, they're full of bravado and all the rest. I know in Beechwood, I know one family there that have the windows of their house broken now for three or four different times. And it's very, very hard to put up that.
Have they reported it to the Gardaí?
Oh, they have, of
and
course,
what did,
yeah.
And
but it's very, very difficult for Gardaí to come and investigate a broken window.
But do you see the gangs walking around? But
yeah,
how hard would it be to interact with those?
That's where I think CCTV would be really useful.
Okay.
I think as well, as a council, we do support residents' associations very strongly, and we support the states very strongly. And it's important to point out, Greg, that there's 1% of youth causing 100% of these problems.
And Michael McBride?
Thank you, Greg. Most unfortunately, in Letterkenny, over the last year in particular, we have a lot of problems with antisocial behaviour. Comes to mind very quickly, we had a young girl stabbed up at the top of Mount Southwell. We had a gentleman going home from a Christmas night out. I think he was stabbed twice up there. We had another assault outside business premises just in recent weeks. Lower Main Street, not Lower Main Street, but sorry, on the Lower Port Road, there's been some people I know was assaulted there on their way home from a night out. But, you know, why are these things happening? They're happening because of problems like alcohol addiction and drug addiction. And the bottom line is we have to regulate the alcohol addiction properly, and we also have to look at our drug problem. And I'm telling you now, it is unbelievable the amount of drugs that are in the countryside. They're in every town and every village. And people who are on them, they're capable of doing anything.
Yeah.
And
the I agree
with Michael.
Huge drug problem here.
There's enough of people to deal with
it.
Just,
we need
it's
not
guards,
just illegal
Michael.
Drugs. A massive issue in Letterkenny is addiction to prescription drugs. And one young fellow that I was speaking to in the town told me that most of his friends are walking around like zombies on these prescription drugs, Valium and Zimovane and different ones, Tramadol. You know, these
where
are
they getting them from?
God knows where they're getting them. They could be buying them on the internet.
Well, you
or
can
anything.
Get them on Facebook.
You know,
I mean, there are Facebook pages that,
you know,
sell the drugs that he talks
yeah,
about. I mean, I don't
these,
know how
these drugs
exist,
are causing but. Massive, massive problems in the town. And that same young fella told me that it's easier for him
to walk downtown and get a gram of cocaine than it is to get an addiction counselling.
Councillor Kieran Brogan, do you want to come in there?
Yeah, I just want to concur with everything that Cahill and Michael have said. One issue that's coming up a lot in the Doors, and it's an issue for a long number of years, Greg, and it's been your top story on Highland Radio for the last 2 years, is the whole issue around the A&E in Letterkenny. An awful lot of people find this very frustrating. Health is a massive issue for us, and we all can hear the different critics of it over the last number of years. But I think we need to invest in that to find solutions for it. And I believe there are solutions. Myself and Councillor Michael McBride serve in the Regional Health Forum, and we've, I suppose, over the last number of years raised the concerns we have. And I believe we need to look at the model that's there at the moment. We need to invest in additional staff. There has been an application with the senior management of the HSE for the last number of years for additional staff and management to the A&E in Letterkenny. Now, I'm now informed that a new senior nurse manager to manage the process of the A&E is going to come in. Cahill will know from his own work the challenges the ambulance service have, where they're sitting delayed there for 4 and 5 hours. It wasn't your show in the past with the time. The times involved and the ambulance service and the additional members that's needed to give us a more quicker response time to that. I think these are the real challenges we need to get in there and address.
Okay, we'll talk about that. I wanted to come back in on the previous topic, and I just want to give an opportunity to do so, and then we can talk, because that ties into the mental health topic that I believe Mary T wants to talk about. Sweepy, did you want to make one comment on that last issue, or is it?
I just want to comment to what Jimmy Kavanagh said about that the guard will not investigate the broken window. I just want to say that this is their job, and they can do it, and they are capable to do that. Mm. So if they are available and the people feel that they are strongly there, that would make the difference.
I mean, it's a fair point. If you think there's no point
I didn't say that they shouldn't investigate it. I said it's very, very difficult for them, and it is.
Yeah. Okay, right, on to Mary T, do you want to come in on the issue Councillor Kieran Brogan raised there? Mary T Sweeney of Aintu.
Well, the real big crisis is mental health on the Doors. It's huge. Not just mental health.
How do the people on the Doors express that? What are they saying is the problem? What can't they access, or what are they saying is actually missing?
Well, Greg, I have people that are suicidal going into A&E and 66 in front of them, even though they have a GP letter. That's massive. 3 times since January, one young girl has been admitted with having attempted suicide and been sent home after one night in high dependency. This is a huge issue. It should be top of the table here today. And we need to do something collectively together. Whether we're in council or not, we're all well capable of putting our heads together and having a real policy and plan for this community. We have to have the best possible hospital. And there's a lot of shortcomings in Letterkenny General Hospital, not just in mental health. We need direct entry access for people with mental health conditions. We have the children's audiologist in the hospital removed last year, never replaced. It's a disgrace. There's a litany that goes on and on.
Diabetes services.
Diabetes services.
Bernie Moore, did you want to come on that?
Yeah, no, I absolutely 100% agree with everything that Mary T. Sweeney has said. We have, it's not acceptable that somebody who's suicidal has to go to A&E. There has to be a better solution.
Mm. There's nothing to compel them to stay there. People to reach out for help. They go to the A&E and they're in there, and a list could be behind, 30, 40, 50 people.
It's not the suitable
How many of them walk
them.
Out as
yeah,
well?
Absolutely.
And what happens next?
But, for somebody that's in that state of mind, it is not an appropriate place for them to be sitting waiting for how many hours. I think we need...
on the Door said to me, I work in mental health. Yeah. I hope you get in. To me, on the Doors, they're so frustrated by the system, and we have to work together. And being elected to council, you can get onto the Regional Health Board, and that's where you can make a difference.
Mary, not Mary, I beg your pardon, that was Mary T. Sweeney, but Councillor Michael McBride, what say you on that?
Our health services are probably our biggest challenge here locally. And, we've had multiple ministers of health who have come in, and I think their intentions were great to fix the health service. And it has been an abysmal failure for each one of them. I think that's fair to say. Cahill McGlynn talked about the ambulance service, and he works on it himself. And he raised the question with senior management on the ambulance service about how many more staff they would need to make a proper ambulance service for Donegal. And I was told that they could use 30 more trained personnel for North Sligo and Donegal. Now, patients and trolleys in the hospital, we have the worst record probably in Letterkenny Hospital of nearly any hospital nationally. And we're having a great difficulty as well recruiting top-end medical personnel for this hospital in Letterkenny. It's an issue that has raised its head time after time through questions into the SAILTA group. We also have to look at promoting healthcare in the home. We know with things like dementia that are just exploding. We have to look at the diabetes that you already touched on. And reduction in respite services is a massive issue. I know many families out there that really depended on that
service.
For many
people, there is no respite service.
Well, I think that's fair to say.
There is no respite
service. That's a huge issue on the door, Greg.
But on this one, Cahill, I mean, people have indicated you're somewhat at the coal face on that issue.
Well, I do see all the issues there through my employment all right with the ambulance service. I suppose what it all comes down to in the hospital there is just a lack of resources, a lack of investment. You know, what we'd really need there, I suppose the health minister has put on an embargo there on recruitment for 3 months, and rather than a time when we need to be hiring more staff and investing more into our local hospital. There's a problem there with a lack of beds, wards closed that should be opened, that should be staffed and beds put into them so we can move patients. Patients are coming into the A&E and I see the ambulance personnel that are standing with a patient on a trolley and could be there 2, 3, 4 hours with a patient on a trolley and not being able to move them off the trolley
because until
beds are free, you have nowhere to put
them. And that's what might hold an ambulance
up A&E and they can't get out.
That's why my key priority is to retain our community hospitals in Stranorler, Lifford and St Joseph's.
Okay, Jimmy Caffin,
just a word on this for you, from you.
Yeah. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, you are a government councillor, you know, and a lot of these problems to fix are in the gift of the health minister, you know, of the HSC, of the Taoiseach. I mean, are you frustrated with how your party's performing in that regard?
I think this has been a frustrating area for everybody for a very, very long time, not this government, or not particularly this minister. You go back to, you know, we've had, what did Brian Cowan describe the health services as one time? Was it Siberia or something he described? So this has gone on a long time, but yes, it's very, very challenging and just to touch on a couple of the points that have been made around mental health, I think that stigma is still a big, big problem that we can maybe all as elected representatives or whatever, or as ordinary people, help with, and by reaching out to people.
We can encourage people to engage with mental health services, but if those mental health services aren't there, does that not actually compound the problem?
The scale of the problem is clear from the fact that Peter House, which we opened recently and we thought was a great addition and is a great addition to the services, but is still not able to cope.
It's not enough.
Does it not deal with crisis situations? I don't know.
Just on the hospital and that, I mean, there is excellent staff in the hospital and there's excellent consultants in the hospital. But I think the biggest problem is actually getting access. When you get access, people are by and large satisfied with the service they get, but there's a huge problem still getting access to the services.
Councillor Karen Brogan.
Yeah, I think we need to look at solutions. And the model is there simply not working. I think it needs to be more patient-focused. Look, people whose experience with the mental health service, they were great over the years. It was much more easy to access the mental health services in Letterkenny through the unit back in the day. Now there's a new system in place where people have to go through A&E. It's causing an awful lot of families grief. I know of situations where, unfortunately, people went into A&E, left, went home and took their own life. That's a fact. Yeah. There was a situation in this town last Saturday that somebody who's terminally ill went into the accident and emergency in Letterkenny, was there 25 hours. There should be a situation and a model in place that person is taken in and taken straight, possibly in this case, to the oncology ward. But we need to look at the solutions for it. We've over the years raised home help, for example. It's the cheapest form of healthcare that we have. We need to give the resources to home help. We need to give the carers resources. These do a great service. Our GPs have a massive role to play in this area.
The HSC not trying to get rid of their responsibility for that. They're trying to farm that out to private companies, aren't they?
My point on that, Greg, the GPs have a huge role here. The whole model of NowDoc was brought in a number of years ago. It was supposed to provide a solution to the hospitals and take people out of the system. If anything, it has added to sending people to the A&E. We need to look at that model. There needs to be a new forum set up where the GPs, the home helps and the carers, the people at the coalface, are part of the decision making process, because it's no longer patient focused. People are sitting in trolleys. That's something that has to stop, especially some of our elderly and very ill people.
I just want to bring Tweeba in on this one. She hasn't had a word on this one yet at the moment. What are you hearing? What do you see as the solution?
Yes.
Or what's
yeah HSE is a huge issue, and I have a presentation to be graduated to social analysis course about that, and I have a lot to say about the HSE. People on trolleys and waiting list and bed crisis and the staffing itself. And if you just look behind that, if they make the situation attractive and better for the medical, especially the doctors, it will be a good solution to keep the Irish new doctors who are awarded new. They will travel outside looking for better opportunity. I think if they make it better for them, they will stay. Mm. And also the migrant doctors, most of them are migrant. If they make it better for them, Ireland will not be a cul-de-sac for them just coming and travelling away.
I often wonder if we are drawing, if we are, if our doctors and nurses are going to London, Australia, yes, Dubai, wherever, yeah, and we are drawing doctors from Africa and other nations, yes, who is replacing those doctors that we're taking from those countries?
Those
doctors. So are we, in other words, is our health crisis here having a terrible impact on the health and well-being,
no,
say in Nigeria, for example, or...
No. They have a lot of doctors, mm-hmm, and they have a lot of colleagues, you know, and they need the experience coming here, okay, looking for the
so
experience.
So it's not a disadvantage?
Yes,
okay,
it's not a disadvantage.
Glad to get an answer.
Yeah. Ask ourselves, why are they leaving here? I think, yeah, we need to go into the colleges. We need to sign up a contract with
that's
our own
exactly
students.
We need
to tie them down for a number of years because there's something bad.
So well, that's quite an important proposal. It's a controversial one. So you're saying if you study here, you should be obliged to work here for a period after you qualify.
Well, it's a huge challenge for many families putting their children through college. So if there was a case that you could sign a contract that their college fees were paid and their accommodation, that in return for that you'd work for so many years here. We never was producing as many people through medical college, doctors and nurses, and we need to keep them here if we can.
We've gone wrong on this in relation to education. I spent 18 years in education here and the whole thing has to be reviewed. We cannot keep training doctors to go abroad from the minute nor they qualify. An article in the paper, Family Fury, as a mum of 80 has a home help cut. It's a disgrace. And hospital beds being held up by people in the beds in hospitals, in acute hospitals that should be out in residential care homes in the St Joseph's, Lifford and Remelton.
Bernie Moore, would you be in favour of those who are partly funded? People put a lot of money into their own training as well, but would you be in favour of those who study here and qualify here being obliged to work here for a period of time rather than them being headhunted before they even leave college in Dublin or wherever?
Well, I think Kieran made some very good points, and I think we do, our doctors are leaving. And we have to ask ourselves, why are they leaving? When medical students, when they graduate, they spend the first couple of years training after college. Do you mean after that? Should they be obliged to?
Yeah,
I think it's something that we could look at, but I don't agree in forcing somebody to stay somewhere that they don't want to be. I think if we have proper training schemes for them, they'll stay.
If you just make their situation better.
Mm-hmm.
They will stay.
The environment where they're happy.
They will stay.
I fully support the nurses and doctors at the coalface at the moment, and we need to send that message out. Yeah. But we need to give them the resources they need as well.
Michael
and at the moment, they're not getting them.
In my opinion, of all the boards that I sit on, the health board is the most frustrating board of all. And I'll give you a brief example. We've put in multiple questions, Councillor Brogan and myself, about the car parking at Letterkenny Hospital. And it took a parliamentary question to get an answer. We were never allowed to have
it. So you're wasting your time going up and down from Galway.
Not on that issue. But Letterkenny Hospital down here, they came out and said that there was 100,000 per year coming into the health board.
2017.
For 2017. Mm. That breaks down to about 300 euros a day. There's something far wrong. That's not the truth.
Is that the money that is? Is that the money taken in total, or is that the money that the hospital make from it? Is that the company brought? Is that the money brought in by the private company, or the money that ends up in the coffers?
My understanding is that the money at the health board are profiting out of it. But is it worth it for 300 a day to have a company in there at all, where people are cancer patients and people are in there on a daily basis that are already under pressure and stress? And if that's all it's worth, the health board, it's time to put an end to it.
Councillor Kavanagh, you haven't come on that one, have you? about, you know, I've got to ask you the question, do you think people who study and are qualified here should be obliged to work here for at least a period of time under the current circumstance?
It happens in other countries that we see doctors here in Ireland that after a period of time have to go back to their own country. So, yeah, it can be done.
I think the majority of medical students, I know from experience, my daughter is just finished her first year in Trinity, but the majority of the students in her class are not Irish. So, you know, there a lot of medical places have been taken up by non-Irish students.
See our children. Is that okay?
Well, I know that the students from other countries, they pay a lot and they contribute a lot. But I don't think it's fair that there are so many.
Are those places being taken up? In other words, can Irish people...
Well, it just means less Irish students.
Yeah, but what I'm trying to get to the bottom of is are there less Irish students because there are more foreign students?
Yes,
is there a finite amount of spaces?
I think in the Royal College of Surgeons, there could be maybe... Now, I could be wrong about these figures, but out of 120 students, you might have 40.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that because
they
opportunity.
Pay.
Yeah, it's not
pay.
For the opportunity, no.
Yeah. In health service, when it's more attractive for people to work for an agency...
Absolutely.
And that's what's happening in this country at the moment. Agencies have been set up. They're creaming millions of
dollars. Children have to emigrate to go and work in other countries because at the end of the day, our youth are our greatest resource. You know, I think anybody that puts themselves through college and educates themselves to a high level, they should be properly looked after. You know, we need to give them proper working conditions in order to make them stay here.
Listen, that's just all the time we have for. There's so much we couldn't get through. Apologies. I hope everyone, I tried as best as possible that everyone got an equal say as much as is possible. Best of luck to Councillor Jimmy Cavan, Mary T. Sweeney, Councillor Kieran Brogan, Cathal McGlynn, Councillor Michael McBride, Bernie Moran, Saweeba Ahmed, and unfortunately Kevin Bradley was invited but didn't come. The best of luck with your campaigns. And we'll be back on the 9 till noon show on Monday from 9.